All right, good morning, Grace Point. It's always good to hear you guys talking with one another, grabbing a quick conversation in between. Hopefully, you in this period of time, you were able to make your lunch plans for today with people maybe you haven't seen for a little while. But that's one of the purposes, right? This is like, let's look at our lunch plans afterwards, whatever. So, glad to hear. By the way, something that was mentioned up here, Tad mentioned the veterans, and I just want to say, as a fellow veteran, thank you for all of you who served. I appreciate you. I know all of you, we all had different experiences, but it's a good time to reflect and to appreciate you. And this last weekend, I always like Veterans Day because they have all these restaurants around that are like, free meal, free meal. I'm like, yes, and I'm trying to hit them all. And it's hard to do, but I do it successfully. So, if you want some tips, you can talk to me or you can talk to Greg Emmons. He is the veteran of Veterans Day for sure. The other thing I wanted to mention is this, Josh mentioned a number of the people who helped out with this stage and we've done some changes with lights, some changes with paint and all that kind of stuff, and we're still thinking through and figuring out how to best use it. But one of the things that Josh didn't mention was his involvement in this, and he was very highly involved. So if you get a chance to just go and like shake his hand or hug him or give him a holy kiss, he loves those. He loves that. But Josh, thank you for all that you did. You and your cohort over there sitting right next to you in the blue, she did a great job helping too. Well, listen, I'm so glad that you're here. And if you haven't been here for a while, or maybe you've never been here before, here at Grace Point, we're about just a couple of things, really. My hope is simply just to talk with you a little bit about who Jesus is and to inspire you to follow him. We can talk about lots of other stuff. We can talk about lots of details within Scripture. But ultimately, all of it comes together to try to encourage you, to influence you to follow Jesus. And that's really what we're all about here. Something I try to say about every week is that we're all in different stages of our journey. We are all on a spiritual pilgrimage, if you will. That's why this series that we're in, we call it The Walk, because that's what it is. It's a step-by-step journey, and really what God is calling us to. He's not calling us to get to the top of the mountain over there. What he's calling you to, in reality, is to taking whatever that next step is. See, for some of us, that next step has been huge. Maybe you have been waiting for a while and you've heard a lot about who Jesus is, but you've never put your trust in Christ. That's your next step. But for some of you, you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you're starting to learn and you're starting to grow. But there are things that you know that you need to follow up and do. There's some of you who maybe you've been a follower of Jesus for a while, but you've never publicly declared that to anybody. And one of the ways you can do that is by being baptized. Another way of doing that is just simply by sharing your faith. But that's your next step. Every one of us has a next step. And I don't know where your next step is or what it is, but hopefully we can encourage you to take that, to be faithful with what God is calling you to do. So I'm so glad that you're here. And whether you're a Christian, whether you're not, whether you're seeking, hopefully today, this is going to be helpful to you. You know what? I just want to pray for you. I don't normally pray in the beginning, but would that be okay if I prayed for you in the beginning? You just nod your head. Anybody? Nobody's doing this. Good, because I would pray anyway. It's just one of those things, you know. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for every person you brought here today. And I don't know why you put it on my heart to pray in the beginning. I don't normally do this, but I just ask that you would do a work in people, just through your word, or maybe through the conversation and friendships that you are bringing around people. And I know people are going through hard times, and some people are celebrating times, and we're at different spaces. But would you encourage those whose hearts are heavy? Lord, would you encourage those marriages that right now they are seriously wounded? Would you help them to take the next step in working things out? Well, I pray for the young man or young woman who is just single. They're just learning to live kind of on their own, and they've got some serious hurdles that they need to get over. Would you help them with it? Lord, I pray for those that are dealing, they're struggling with a thing that's got a hold of them, an addiction. Lord, would you release them from that? Lord, I pray for those who need encouragement. They need your people around you to lift them up. Would you bring others around them and help with that? And Father, I pray that you would open our eyes to some things in your word. Today is going to be very practical, but I pray that it is helpful in a way and it meets the needs of what we all have. And so we pray, Lord, for you to have your will in our lives today and that we would be the kind of church you want us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I was thinking about game shows. And there's this game show, and maybe I don't know if you know what it is, but it like requires no skill, hardly at all. And it's where these contestants, they come up and they basically choose from a bunch of briefcases. They're briefcases with numbers on them, and they get to pick a bunch of them. And like some have like one briefcase has like $1 million, and the other one has like, you know, 1 cent. You guys know what that show was called? Anybody remember what that show was called? I got all kinds of things from The Price is Right, which, no, I don't know if I heard that. But what was it called? Anybody?
Deal or No Deal.
See, yeah, that's right. Deal or No Deal. Deal or No Deal. That I like that, first of all, because I would have a chance at that show. Jeopardy, I would never have a chance at, I don't think. But so Deal or No Deal, it asks this question, is this a deal for you or not? Let me just give you a Deal or No Deal scenario. I'm sort of bringing this into church world today. So this is actually a question for Christians in here. All right. So if you're a Christian, this is a question for you. This is a deal or no deal scenario. So a friend at work comes up to you at lunch.
No deal.
And offers to pay for the rest of the year. You just lost out. No. A friend of work comes up to you at lunch and asks if you would like to go out for a beer with them tonight at a local pub, which is famous for their hot wings and 155 varieties of beer. And they say to you, I was hoping I could talk with you about some spiritual things. I know you're a Christian and we've been talking about things, but you mentioned things in your Bible. If you could bring your Bible, I've been thinking about this whole thing with Jesus. So maybe we could talk about him over like a glass of wine or a beer. And this person has been very interested in talking about spiritual things over the last few months. And you feel like they're on the edge of maybe for the very first time putting their faith in Christ. So here is the deal or no deal question. Do you say, sure, I'll go with you. Yeah, let's go to the pub. We'll have a glass of wine. We'll talk about this. Or no, I don't feel good about this. I can't do that. Deal or no deal. Think about it in your mind. You have 5 seconds. Yeah, I would bet if we went around the room. Now today, if I would have asked this 20 years ago, it probably would have been a much more polarizing question than it is today. But I would bet you there are people on both sides of the room that try to figure out, well, wait a minute, I'm not sure what I would do, how I would do that, because there are spiritual and moral choices we face every day, and it's not like it's listed. You can go to the, you know, the book of Romans, the book of 1 Corinthians. You could just find the answer. This is what it says to do in this situation. And so the question that I really want to tackle today is really this question, deal or no deal. When it comes to the different things that you face in your life every day, and I think that whether you're a follower of Jesus or whether you're not a follower of Jesus, I'm not exactly sure if it always will fit. But I think that what I'm going to give you today probably will be helpful for both sets of you. If you're a Christian or even if you're not Christian, what we're going to look at will probably help you when you encounter sort of, I'm just going to call them the gray areas of life. Things that that I look at, I say, well, you know, the scripture, nowhere in the scripture does it even address certain things that we face today. I mean, certain areas like, okay, is it okay to go dancing, right? I know that I'm talking to a big dancing crowd when I say that. But what about other things like movies? Is there certain movies, or are you allowed to go to certain movies or certain other gray areas? What about birth control? For some people, that was a pretty big deal, or maybe that's a big deal on your mind right now. Playing the lottery. How about drinking alcohol, or even, you know, Android, iPhone, which are you going to choose? I throw that out as a joke. No, it wasn't a good joke, but it was still a joke. It was an attempt. If you're a Christian, you've been given freedom with how you're going to live out your life of faith. And some of you, you have seen Christians, you have seen churches that seem to have a list. And there's like this list of the things that you have to do. And it's not like you're going to find this list like in Scripture anyway, but there are these things that you have to do in order to be in God's good graces. By following the list, and that makes you, you know, something. But see, that's not Christianity. The primary teaching of Christianity is simply this. That we were all once slaves to sin. We're born that way. We are born as a slave to sin. But through faith in Jesus Christ, by trusting Jesus Christ, we have new life. That He's given us new life. And there's nothing that you can do that will make Him love you any more. And then there's nothing that you can do to make Him love you any less. And this is the message within Scripture. And yet there's a danger, because there's some people would hear that and they would say, well, hey, I've got freedom out of my way. I can do whatever I want. I can live however I want. But the question that we go back to is, well, what does God say that we should do with this freedom of life that He's given us? How can we use what Jesus has done for us for higher purposes? How can we use it for that? Galatians 5:13, I shared this maybe a few weeks back. It says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, or that's another way of saying freedom. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You know, one of the things that we've seen in the series, The Walk, that I've been going through with you is, God measures spiritual maturity not by how many rules you follow, not by your intelligence or how much you might know the Bible, but God measures spiritual maturity in a number of different ways. One of them is when you are ready and willing to set aside your personal freedoms to help other people grow. Set aside your own personal freedoms for the kingdom of God. That's how God is measuring spiritual growth. It's not about the rules that you keep. And so today what I want to do is I want to give us five filters to help us sort through the different gray areas that we meet every week, all the time. We kind of encounter these things. Should we do this or should we not? Is it right to take part in this? Is it not right to do that? And these five filters, I really believe this. I think 99.99% of the time it's going to give us clarity with what we need. And this isn't just an issue with us today where, you know, you wonder, is this okay or this not? The Church of Corinth around 2,000 years ago had an issue with this. And so I'm going to be quoting mostly from the letter to the Corinthians that Paul wrote to them. But they had a saying in the Church of Corinth, and the saying in the city of Corinth. And the saying was, all things are permissible. Everything's permissible. You come to Corinth, it was sort of like the saying that we have today, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Right? That was Corinth. Corinth was, everything is permissible. That was their saying. And the Apostle Paul, he took that saying and he qualified it. He said, well, let me actually make this a true statement. And this is what he did. He says, after you look at what God requires and how we're called to love one another, let's make this a true statement. In 1 Corinthians 6:12, he says, all things are lawful for me. That was their phrase. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And then later, just a few chapters later in chapter 10, he basically says almost the exact same thing. He says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. You see how they're almost exactly the same? The only thing that's different is the last phrase. But he says, sure, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. Not all things edify. And I will not be brought under the power of any. Those are the three things. And so if you were to read this in like the New Living Translation, you would say, you know, you say I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. Not everything is beneficial. So let's take some time and get just five filters that we need to run our freedom through. So question here, is it okay to own a gun? And in this congregation, I know we're going to have people be like, yes, Second Amendment, right? What's that? Just one gun. Is it okay to own one gun? Yeah. I knew there would be one person out there. I figured there'd be more than you, Nate, to be honest. Is it okay to own a gun? But, you know, that is across the nation. People are like, I don't know, you know, the gun rules and all that. So the reason I bring this up is because you ever play with a gun when you're a little kid? Like, no, that didn't come out right. I used to have like rubber bands, and I would attach a rubber band, and I go and I play, and I go boop boop boop, you know, and you'd shoot rubber bands with your hand like you're like a gun like this. So if you take your hand and you do this, that what you've got is you've got three fingers that are pointing back at you, you got one finger pointing away, and you got a thumb that's pointing up. This is the 5 points. So I don't know why I thought, hey, if you think, I don't know why I thought this was brilliant. Hey, let's talk about a gun and then do this. And I just blew the whole thing. So forget it. Forget the gun. The idea was a wise man named Dr. Ho. He kind of gave me this illustration. He said, if you do this, then this will help you remember these five filters. But the first one, I'm going to start down with the bottom and work my way up, is the question, is it helpful? Here's the first question that you ask when you're encountering something you're wondering, is this okay to do? Is this right? Is it helpful? Is it profitable? And you can ask that in a number of ways. Is it helpful to you spiritually? Hebrews 12:1, the writer of Hebrews says this. He says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You guys have watched baseball players. Hopefully you've seen it on TV. But you've got these guys that are up. They're next in bat. And what they do is they pick up their bat and they grab a weight and they put it on their baseball bat. And it goes to them and they take a couple of swings with this extra weight on it. And it's meant to kind of trick their muscles to really hit the ball really hard. But when they come up to really bat, they don't have this extra weight stuck on their bat. They don't want that. They take it off. There are some people who, when they are running or when they're hiking or whatever, they've got like wrist weights or ankle weights because they want to get in better shape. But if they're actually going through a race, they take those things off. They lay aside the extra weights. And so this is sort of a spiritual question which is brought up here. So what does the Bible say about movies? Well, it doesn't say anything about movies. Movies didn't exist. They didn't have light bulbs back then, right? But we ask the question, well, does Scripture say anything about movies? And yet what you can know about this is, are there things that actually hold you back from progressing spiritually? And are there things that actually would cause you to sin, to think bad thoughts? And if so, you probably ought to let those things behind. And so I think about movies, you know, there's no way that you can go to a movie with sex and nudity and then say, wow, that was really helpful for my spiritual life. You just can't do that. There's no way that you can listen to a steady diet of, I don't know, I'm just picking some gangster rap. You know, the acid rock or some sort of a very, you know, kind of immoral lyrics. And you can't listen to that and say, man, this is really molding me into a man or a woman of God. It's not doing that. You can't pick up Cosmopolitan magazine and read all the articles in it and say, wow, this is really enhancing my desire for God. These things actually pull you down. And while we may have liberty to say, oh, I can go and do these things, one of the things you have to remember is that God doesn't reward liberty in heaven. He doesn't reward you and say, wow, yeah, you really used all that liberty to go do all that extra stuff. So that's the first question. Is it going to be helpful for you? Helpful spiritually? What about helpful or harmful for you physically? Here's another passage in Corinth, or in 1 Corinthians, that Paul wrote to Corinth. He said, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. So what does the New Testament say about your body? Well, what he basically says here is that your body is God's property. That he has given it to you. That it's sort of on loan. We all know it's on loan. Because there's one day our bodies are going to expire. And what that means is that you've got to filter all your decisions through this truth, through this question. Is it helpful? So let's just talk about some things that, you know, we've discovered through time that are not very helpful. Smoking. I mean, I used to watch these guys. They were getting ready to do the Tour de France, and they actually believed right before you go, it's really good to smoke a couple cigarettes to open up the lungs before you get out there, right? Some of your doctors and stuff are going, man, what idiots, right? So, but it was the doctors that said that was okay to do. But, you know, smoking, is it going to help you? Is it going to help your breath? Everybody says, no, it doesn't help your breath. How about your teeth? Does it help your teeth? No. Does it help your lungs? No. Does it help your taste buds so that you can taste things better? No. Does it help your heart? No. Does it help you, the rest of your family? Does it help you live longer? And all of this, it sounds like, well, Kyle, you're coming really down on smoking. Well, the truth is you have a liberty, you have a freedom. You could do that. I mean, I'm just going to be fully honest with you. I have a pipe and I have some pipe tobacco. And about once every year or two, I might sit out on a back porch, watch a sunset and smell some of that tobacco. And I try not to breathe it in. Most of the time it's successful, but I like the smell of that. Is that wrong? And so I'm going to find out if I'm fired afterwards. Just confessions here, right? But see, here's the thing. So I think once in a while, once a year, whatever, to do that, I'm thinking, you know, I'm probably okay with that. But you've got to ask that question. What about junk food, you know, eating from a paper sack all the time? You guys see that documentary, what was it called, Supersize Me, where the guy ate McDonald's, nothing but McDonald's, three times a day for a whole month. And like he was going to die if he kept doing that because he always ate the worst and the most that he could eat. But man, a steady diet of junk food is not great. But you go to the fast food. We all kind of know this, right? Moderation. You can go and you can do that. But what about some other things that have to do with your body? Tattoos. You know, in the book of Leviticus, it mentions something about tattoos. But then, you know, you get Revelation 19:16. Jesus seems to have something that says King of Kings, Lord of Lords, like on his thigh. And I'm like, well, I wonder what that is. But you've got to determine, well, what's right or wrong to do with your body. Is it helpful? Right. What about piercings? You know, ears pierced, we don't even think about that. Now we're in a day of nose pierced, lip pierced, cheek pierced. Pretty soon it's going to go through your head pierced, whatever. All over the place, right? Well, what about you do with your hair? I mean, you know, what do your parents think? What does your spouse think? These are questions. Plastic surgery. So what do you do with your body? There's one issue I think that I probably should just speak, and I'm just going to do a little kamikaze preaching. That's where you go in and out real quick. One issue I think that Scripture is kind of clear on is that God made us male and female. It's very clear. And God's plan for sexuality and gender is clear. Our body is God's property. So when it comes to these issues today where people are kind of pushing and saying, oh, it's good to do this idea of transition surgery, about transitioning drugs, all that, I don't think that's a gray area. I think that's a no area. But these other things, it's a gray area. How do you do that? Well, the first question you ask, is it helpful? Is it helpful? Is it harmful? That will help you. A newer to us, in the United States, gray area, simply just because of different states legalizing it, would be marijuana. Is it okay to smoke pot? Is that okay? Because, you know, if you have freedom and all of this. And so, what if I think that will help me physically with some pain or some problem? Well, that brings us to the second question. Here's the second question. Will it bring me under its power? So the first question is it helpful? The second question, that's my second finger of the gun thing here, is will it bring me under its power? Will it bring me under its control? And that's what Paul says, I will not be brought under the power of anything. I don't want it to have power over me. And you know, some of these gray areas, they can master you. They can put you into bondage or like an addiction, and they can harm you. Some of the things are dangerous because they won't let go. Some people have found out just playing and messing around with gambling, and before long they realize they've developed an addiction and they can't let go. It has power over them. Is there a problem with just playing the lottery every now and then? Well, that's up for you to decide. But see, if it has power over you, then that's a clear no. If it can have power over you, you shouldn't do that. Credit cards and people spending, I find some people have issues with that. Some people today have issues with Instagram or TikTok. And the reason why you know this is because an hour goes by and you didn't even realize it, and your time is just gone. And it's got you under its power. One of the more popular areas that I think that we all maybe understand and talk about, or maybe don't talk about it, but it's just the issue of alcohol. What about alcohol? Let me just touch on that very briefly, because there are passages in Scripture that are both positive talking about alcohol and then negative talking about alcohol. And then there's also those that are neutral talking about alcohol. I think of Psalm 104:15 that says that God causes all things to grow. He's the one that brings forth food from the earth, and he's the one that makes the wine that makes the heart glad. This is in the Psalms. It's a song. And it says that wine makes the heart glad. Another passage in Deuteronomy 13:26 seems to talk about how you can drink wine or strong drink even as you're worshiping the Lord. You can look that up on your own. And then on the other side, Proverbs 20:1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whoever is deceived by it, it's not wise. You've got both sides of the thing here. Ephesians 5:18, perhaps the most well-known passage in the New Testament, it says, "And do not get drunk with wine, which is debauchery, but be filled by the Spirit." And so what he's basically contrasting is one thing can control you, but he says, don't let that. Instead, let God direct you. Let Him control you. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life rather than this idea of drunkenness or wine. And we read this, and we read this as a do not get drunk with wine, which is debauchery. How many of you have used the word debauchery this last week within your vocabulary? Yeah, I thought so. We don't use words like that. There's another one that the different version would say, which is this word dissipation. I would bet nobody used this word dissipation in the last 5 years in your conversation. But let me just explain what that means. Debauchery or dissipation is recklessness or unrestrained behavior. It's a lack of self-control, and it also causes sexual excess. So what this means, the idea of drunkenness, it's destructive, it corrupts, it leads away from virtue and excellence, and it can enslave you and become your master. That's what this word dissipation or debauchery means. This is why wine can be both good and bad. Because if you overuse it, it can lead you, it can be destructive, it can become addictive. Too much, it brings you under its power. But not too much, and just the right amount, and it can make your heart glad. So you've got to make a decision about which way you go with this, right? But see, this is what drugs can do. So now we're gone into the area of drugs. This is what marijuana does. Marijuana, it gets people high, it brings them under its power. And so they can't think right anymore. They can't make the same kind of wise decisions that they would make. And yet, at the same time, if you go to a doctor and you're following certain prescriptions and you've got drugs, they're trying to regulate it, trying to help you, so that doesn't bring you under its power. That's really one of the basis here. And for the most part, that won't be much of an issue. And yet, we still find that there are people who become addicted to prescription drugs. So you've got this question. Well, what do I do about alcohol, about, you know, the issue of marijuana, about even prescription drugs? And this is it. It's up to you. But the question is, will it bring you under its power? Because anything that will bring you under its power would be wrong. And that's what you've got to make this decision. That's the wisdom. And there are people who are on both sides of the issue. Some say, no, I won't ever drink because I don't ever want it to be, I don't want to be brought under its power. And others say, yeah, I drink, but I only drink so much. And so therefore, you know, that's it. But one of the principles that we learned at the end of Romans 14, was this. It says that the man who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not do so from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. Basically just saying this, if you've got a question, if it's doubtful to you on whether you should do it, then the answer is pretty clear that you shouldn't do it because it's not out of faith that it would be okay for you. Which brings me to my third filtering question is this. Will this activity, will it identify me with unrighteous things even though I may not be doing anything wrong? Or will it hurt my influence with people that are outside the faith? 1 Thessalonians 5 says, avoid all appearances of evil. Romans 14 says, don't let your good be thought of as evil. So there are things that maybe, you know, it could appear evil. I don't know if I have to say this or not, but you know, if you're getting married and you've got a fiance and, you know, things happen and you think, oh, it would be easier for the fiance to stay over at my apartment. Yet that would be an appearance of evil that you're sleeping together before you're married. And, you know, you've got to choose on whether or not that would be right or wrong. It's funny, when I was down in Mississippi, in the Air Force, lived in a dorm room, big, huge section of dorms and stuff. Everybody entered from the outside, like little apartments or whatever. My cousin Chrissy and her good friend came down. I don't know why they thought this would be great. They said, let's go camping in Mississippi. Anyone ever thought about going camping in Mississippi? It's just not worth it. Just don't bother. Okay, I shouldn't say that. I did all kinds of camping down in Mississippi. But they just thought they're going to leave college. They're going to come down on spring break, camp in Mississippi. Pouring rain. And they're like, we are just so drenched. And Chrissy calls me, can we come and stay at your dorm? I'm like, sure, come on over. So I have these two women come and stay in my dorm. Chrissy's pretty. And I'm like, all of my buddies are there. They're like, uh-huh. I'm like, this is my cousin. You know, this is my cousin and her friend. You know, I even said, hey, you guys can stay here. Maybe I could go stay at my buddy's apartment or whatever. But I wanted everybody to know. I didn't want anybody to think anything, you know, crazy was going on. I wanted to avoid all appearance of evil. You know, I had to think about this. Well, will it impact, you know, my influence with people who were non-Christians? This is what Paul says to the Corinthians. He says, you know, listen, I'll have to jump into this, but he says, if others receive this right from you, are we not more deserving? But we have not made use of this right, and instead, we endure everything so that we may not be a hindrance to the gospel of Christ. That's the point. We might be free to do some things, but what we do is we do everything to not be a hindrance to the gospel of Christ. For though I'm free from all men, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. I'm free to do whatever, but I am making myself a servant of other people because I want their opinion of Jesus to be high. I want their opinion of Christians to be high, because once we go public for Jesus, people start watching. And they've got expectations. Whether expectations are right or wrong, they're real expectations of how Christians ought to live. And so if you're here today and you'd say, well, I'm not a Christian, I'm still figuring stuff out. You may have known people who called themselves Christians and they didn't live up to what you thought that they ought to do. And to be honest, I'm not surprised. Christianity is not all about our ability to perform perfectly in our walk with Christ. But what you've got to remember is this. We should be measuring our expectations up to who Jesus Christ is and all the things that He did. And if you're a non-Christian, you can look at other Christians and all that, but really what I want you to do is I really would like you to look at Jesus. Measure up what Jesus Christ did. That's the thing that you should look up at. You look at His character. And until you can find something wrong with Jesus, Christianity stands the test. Because see, all of us in the room, we're all flawed. And we're trying to live for Jesus. And if people measure everything based on us, they're going to find some flaws in us. But when you measure up things against Jesus Christ, you see that He is holy, He is right in everything that He has ever done. Now, I'd say for Christians, this doesn't give us an excuse to take any of this lightly. We've got to learn about the culture that we live in. We've got to take this serious about reaching people for Christ. And we've got to consider limiting our own freedoms in order to reach other people for Christ. And so here's the question some people ask. Why should I constrain my own freedoms for people that I don't even know? And the answer would be simply this: because their soul is more valuable than your liberty. We need to remember this. In America that prizes my rights, we need to remember other people's lives and souls in eternity is more valuable than my right to do whatever it is that I want. So that's the third question. Fourth one, does it build others up? And this is where it points outward. Instead of pointing to me, it points outward, this little gun illustration. Does it build others up? We read in 1 Corinthians, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. That means build up. He also wrote, let all things be done for edification or for building other people up. So another way to ask this is simply this, is if I do this, if I am part of this activity, will I hurt other people in their relationship with God? Will it damage someone else's faith if they're a newer Christian? Will it damage their faith? Or even if they're not a Christian, will it damage them on their path, if you will, to following Christ? Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, to be careful that this liberty of yours does not become a hindrance to the weak. If you sin against your brothers or sisters in this way, and you wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. And for this reason, if food causes my brother or sister to sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I may not cause one of them to sin. We read in Romans a couple weeks ago, if your brother is grieved because of your food, you're no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food one for whom Christ died. You know, the way that we exercise our freedom or our liberty, we could actually cause another person to sin in their heart, to participate in something that goes against their conscience, or get involved in something that actually could even ruin their lives. This is why that question about the whole alcohol, and it's like finding somebody, you know, you have the freedom to drink alcohol, but you know, you're meeting with this person here and they were an alcoholic. Are you gonna sit there and say, well, I've got the freedom to drink alcohol as I'm meeting with this person who is struggling with an addiction? And see, that would be absolutely wrong, because you don't want to put them in that position where you would hurt them. This is sort of another kind of in-house Christian kind of thing here. Ladies, you all have a liberty with what you wear. But if you wear like really short skirts or bikinis or whatever, there's not a healthy Christian male who won't go off like Thumper in the movie Bambi. You don't know what I'm talking. You need to go watch that movie, because Thumper makes it right there. But see, there are men that are trying to keep their minds pure, and they're trying to follow Christ. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy. He said that women should adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, which is proper for women professing godliness. So the question is, are you helping and walking in love towards your fellow Christian by the things that you wear? You know, I think this can apply to guys just as well. But we've got to care more about the spiritual life of other people than my freedom. And see, that's an issue. This is where sort of the rubber meets the road here in America. Do I care about other people's spiritual growth and where they are in their relationship with God more than I care about my own freedom? And see, that's a problem. That's why Paul said it's good neither to eat meat or drink wine or to watch movies or to wear miniskirts or to play lottery or to, you know, whatever it is, or do anything that makes your brother stumble. So it's good not to do that if it's going to cause someone else to stumble. Fifth thing. So now you've got the little gun symbol, you got this, and then you got the thumb that points up. And here's the last question is does it glorify God? Very simple question. Does it glorify God? Therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Can you eat to the glory of God? Yes. Can you drink to the glory of God? Yes. Make sure that you are doing that. Whatever you do, do to the glory of God. So if you think about anything and you wonder, I wonder if it's okay to do this. Can you do it to the glory of God? That's sort of the final question. So here's the summary. If you're a follower of Jesus and you've got liberty, that's great. But you run things through five filters. So here's the five questions. Is it helpful? Secondly, will it bring me under its power? Third, will it identify me with unrighteous things or hurt my influence of those outside the faith? Fourth, does it build other people up? And fifth, does it glorify God? I think that 99.99% of the time, if you're wondering about some issue and you run it through these five filters, you're going to find that you have your answer. And by the way, the answer that you have in your circumstances when you ask this may be different than somebody else's answer that they ask in their circumstances, in their place and their time of life. It may be totally different. See, that's the interesting thing. See, what you could say is, Kyle, why don't you just tell us all what to do and we'll just do it? Well, yeah, if you want to be stupid. But if you want to be wise, you got to figure this out yourself. You've got to deal with this in your own context. Because we're all living in a different context. Somebody who is in Africa versus somebody who is in Europe versus somebody who is maybe East Coast, West Coast. We're all going to have different contexts that is going to depend. And by the way, there's Christian liberty in how we apply these filters. I mentioned, ladies dress modestly. Not everybody agrees what modest is, and depending on where you are. So you got to figure that out. I talked about, honoring God with your body. C.H. Spurgeon, he was one of the greatest preachers in the last 200 years. And that guy was like a chimney. He loved smoking cigars. And he said, listen, if anyone has a problem smoking cigars, give them to me. I'll smoke them for you. He said that. He was okay doing that. So here's the thing. These filters, they're for ourselves. They aren't for us to say, let me filter your life and figure out how you ought to operate. This is a filter for me to ask for me. It's not for me to use to judge other people, because we're free in Christ. We have liberty in Christ. But if we limit our liberty, the reason we do it, we know, is because we got bigger priorities than our freedoms. It's for my spiritual well-being. It's for your spiritual well-being. And it's to advance the good news of Jesus Christ to other people. And when we give up these liberties doing so, we don't complain, because we know that God is going to use it. We've caught a bigger vision that God has for us. It's not all about us and all that we can do in our freedom. God wants to make us mature. He wants to make us wise. He wants to help us make good decisions in these amoral areas, rather than just doing something just because the preacher told you to do it that way. Now, I was thinking about what this looks like in real life, and or even in Scripture. Two men who were opposites. Two guys, Ezra and Nehemiah. Okay, two books of the Old Testament, Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra was a priest. Nehemiah was a cupbearer who came back to try to help rebuild Jerusalem. They're both called. They basically were both supposed to escort Jewish people back to the land of Israel. They're both supposed to do it. Ezra was too ashamed to ask the king for any kind of an escort, because he felt like if he asked the king for troops to help and protect them on their way, that wouldn't be trusting God. And so he was ashamed to do that. And he thought, well, God's going to have to take care of us. A few years later, Nehemiah has to do the same thing. And Nehemiah 2:9, it says, now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. And Nehemiah basically said, I'll take every armed guard I can get with me on this dangerous journey. Two totally opposite ways of operating. Which one of these guys did the Lord use? He used both. When both of them found that the Jewish men they had intermarried with the Canaanites and the Hittites and all that, Ezra responded in Ezra 9, and what he did is he tore his robe in front of all of these, in front of all the people, and he prayed and he wept in the middle of the square for the decisions that they made. That's how he responded. Nehemiah, on the other hand, how he responded is he jumped on these men and he beat them up and he ripped out their beards by the roots. Some of you are like, I'm like Nehemiah. Others are like, well, I'd be a little bit more like Ezra. They are totally different in their leadership. And can you imagine each one's perspective on each other? And yet they became partners in doing God's will. And in this and how they did it. So listen, the reason why we've gone through this series and the reason why we've taken so long in this section from Romans 14, 1 all the way to where we are in Romans 15 is simply this. It's teaching us how to be mature when it comes to our freedoms. That other people matter more than ourselves. That we need to learn how to both have our liberty, but also how to live in unity. And so we're learning how to accept people in the body of Christ just as they are. Live and let live. Accept them as they are. We need to learn to appreciate all kinds of believers who don't see gray areas the way that I do. That you may see things differently than I do, and that's okay. It's all right. And then thirdly, we want to put the welfare of others before ourselves. Because that's what's going to create unity, not only within our church, but within everybody around us. And we've got a bigger agenda than just living out our own, you know, our own liberty, our own freedoms that God has given us. I mean, if we really want to reach people with the message of Jesus, we've got to set those things aside. So that's really what this is all about. So let me pray for us, and hopefully you can remember, you know, my little illustration of the gun, three questions for us, one for someone else, and lastly, does it glorify God? Hopefully this is helpful in making the harder decisions easy. But let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray today, as this was just really sort of a summary of all we've been going through for the last, 6 weeks, that you would help us to take these things to heart. This is just simple principles. But would you help us live in unity the way that we're called to? And would you help us as we approach those decisions, those things where we wonder if this is the right way or the right thing to do, that we would remember these questions? We would remember what Paul wrote when he said, all things are lawful, but not all things edify. That I don't want to be brought under the power of any. Not all things are helpful. That we would remember to ask those questions. And that would give us wisdom as we move forward. But Lord, I pray that you would help us. You would use Grace Point. That we would love one another well. And that we would love our community well as well. Lord, we thank you for your grace, your kindness to us, your love for us in Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming today. You guys are dismissed. Hope you have a great day.